Let's turn in God's word to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. On page 1181, and we'll read verses 1 through 14. Second Timothy 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he's able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And brothers and sisters, if you just look at verse 5 there, that'll be our text this afternoon. I'm reminded, Paul writes to Timothy, of your sincere faith. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. Lois, Eunice, and now you. How God produces faith in his children. So we look at this afternoon with God's help under 3 points. Does God have grandchildren? Then we want to look at God's gift and then God's call. Does God have grandchildren? Paul is writing, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, to Timothy, pastoring in the church at Ephesus. This is a huge job. Establishing a new church in the belly of the beast of Rome, Central Asia Minor, Roman territory. Establishing a new church. Teaching new Christians the truth of the gospel. Training elders and deacons for the first time ever. They've never had such a thing before. Refuting false teachers who want to drag true Christians away from the faith into error and expelling false teachers. That's a huge job. Big job. Timothy's got some big liabilities, problems that are discouraging him from this big job or in this big job. He's got physical ailments, we read in Timothy. He is personally timid, shy, scared. He's relatively young, and he grew up in a deficient home where the parents, it seems, were unequally yoked. His Greek father wouldn't allow his Jewish mother to have baby Timothy circumcised, wanted him to identify as a Gentile dog. And perhaps that's why Timothy's dad isn't named. He wasn't a member of the church. Lois and Eunice were known. So to put it mildly, Timothy feels inadequate and ill-equipped. And where does Paul go to encourage and exhort him to be strong and of good courage? Does he say, toughen up, got to get a thicker skin, buddy? Does he say, just do some deep breathing exercises and you'll be fine? No, he goes back to something very simple and ordinary, but very powerful. Back to his sincere faith that was passed down to him through his grandmother and mother. That's what he does. You understand the context. Contrast Timothy's story of faith, which is not very impressive, with Paul's story of faith, as we heard last week, is very dramatic and powerful. What does Paul do when he's discouraged? He goes back to when the Lord saved him. You see that often. He goes back to when the Lord saved him and called him with a holy calling. That back to that dramatic event when Jesus called them from heaven in blinding light and thunder, knocked him down to the ground, powerfully converted him, and called him to preach the Christ he once hated and build the church he was trying to slaughter. Timmy must think, I've got nothing like that. He's got so much battery charge from the dramatic salvation that he got. What am I compared to Paul? I've got nothing. And then Paul says, Timothy, you got to draw on your faith story. You got to draw on God's work in your life when he gave you faith. Just like I do. God called me. Timothy, you have a faith story too. Lois believed, your grandma. Eunice believed, your mom. And their faith has become yours, and now you believe. God has given you faith, and that's all you need for this task. Whether the heavens opened and Jesus called you from above in a blinding light and thunderous voice, or God called you through the Bible stories and grandma's knee and scripture reading and prayer at the family table. You know, it's what I find in our evangelical Christian culture. People will sometimes put down the passed down faith. Faith that gets passed on quietly from parents to children. They like to say, God has children, you know, but he has no grandchildren. What they mean by that is your parents' faith can't save you, and that's true. Each one has to have his or her own genuine faith and personal relationship with Christ Jesus, as Timothy 2, to take ownership of what his grandma and mom taught him so that he also had his own sincere faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Each one has to have his or her own genuine faith and personal relationship with Jesus. You become a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so God has no grandchildren. You can't depend on your parents' faith to be saved. Brothers and sisters, you must have your own. Lois, sincere faith. Eunice, sincere faith. And you, Timothy, sincere faith. And if you are depending on your parents for your Christianity and your salvation, and expecting it to be automatic because you're in a Christian home, you're not going to be saved. We have to make our parents' sincere faith our own by saying, I'm wicked. I'm evil. I need Jesus. I run to him. He saves me. And now I'm his and he's mine and I'm living for him. We must have our own. And yet there's something going on in this passage that's very striking and teaches us, congregation, not to separate our faith from our parents' faith in the Christian community. That connection is so important. You know, Paul could have just mentioned Timothy's sincere faith. Because from the time he first met Timothy, likely it was about 20 years ago when Timothy was about 15, he's likely 35 now. He first met Timothy on his second missionary journey in Lystra. Paul met him as a youth, and his faith was already then sincere. We read in Acts 16 that Paul came to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. He had just lost John Mark, who had forsaken them. He wanted to join them again, but Paul says no. So the young guy was gone. He wanted another young guy to apprentice. Paul met Timothy, saw a sincere faith, said, I want you. So he could have just mentioned Paul's sincere, or Timothy's sincere faith, but he doesn't. Discourage Timothy. I need you to see your whole story of faith, including your grandmother and mother. You got it from your mom. That's what it says. Your sincere faith, which dwelt first in your grandmother. She gave her faith to you. We're uncomfortable with language like that, but she gave her faith. I know that was God's work. You got it from your mom, Eunice, who got it from her mom, Lois. Now, most of us are blessed to get our faith through both a dad and a mom. But you know what? I find this tremendously encouraging. God can also use a mom and a grandma when a dad or a grandpa is not involved in our children's faith training. I know Paul came along later when Timothy was about 15 to be a spiritual dad to Timothy. And he calls him my beloved child. And in 1 Timothy, my beloved child in the faith. And maybe there are older dads here who can be a spiritual father to help a young man. Think about your calling, my calling. But Lois and Eunice, even though Timothy's faith is his own, they're very much a part of his story of faith. God wants that to be recognized. Now, we not put down a passed down faith. And near the end of the book in chapter 3, if you look at 3 verses 14 and 15, Paul says it again. Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed. And then he says, knowing from whom you learned it. No, he might mean Paul. No, yeah, that too, but and from how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul or Timothy, remember Lois and Eunice. And let that be an encouragement for you. How God gave you faith. Because now you're called to preach the gospel and expect God to use you to give others faith and grow that faith. And you're wondering, how can I do this? And I'm telling you, just look at your own life and your mom and grandma. It wasn't a blinding light from heaven. No, but it was powerful just the same. So each child growing up in a Christian faith must personally and sincerely put his faith in Jesus Christ. You must see your own sin and God's wrath on it. You must flee from the wrath of God and run to his son for refuge. You must personally commit your life to Jesus for safety as his faithful follower. But brothers and sisters, never underestimate the power of being the child and grandchild of people with sincere faith. It's a very important part of the story of how God has given you faith, and rejoice in that heritage of ancestors who believed. Rejoice in that special gift God gave you and see how God has used that to equip you in a special way for service in his kingdom. One person paraphrased what Paul's saying to Timothy like this. Timothy, I believe with all my heart that your faith, even though it's rooted in your mother's and your grandmother's faith, is sincere. It's authentically yours. You're your own man. You're not mama's boy. You're not grandma's boy. Your faith is yours, even though it was first your mother's and grandmother's faith. Don't feel less authentic because of that lineage. Don't begrudge the family influence, Timothy. Glory in it. That's the first thing that we need to see. As Paul encourages Timothy to look at his simple story of faith, very ordinary and quiet in a way, still a miracle. And to encourage him with that story and to make much of that story, that we also realize this is an important story for my life. Yet it's God's gift. And let's see that secondly. God's gift of faith, how does that come? Again, take a close look at 1 verse 5. See its power. 1 verse 5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother. The Greek is mammy. Dwelt in your mammy, which is like a childhood word for your grandma. Obviously, they had a close relationship. It's still as an adult, Lois is Timothy's mammy, which dwelt first, your faith, sincere faith, dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, and the word is matri, in your mammy and matri, your matri Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. It appears that Paul knows Lois and Eunice, and he met them personally when he was in Lystra. And he saw God's marvelous work in this imperfect family. You don't have a perfect family for God to work, right? And notice first what he does not say. I saw your faith, I saw your mammy's faith, and I saw your matri's faith. A lot stronger. Your faith first dwelt in your grandmother, your mammy. Then it took residence in Eunice, your matri. And now it's been passed down and it's made your home in you. It's home in you. First Lois, then Eunice, and now you. Meaning you got it from them. Their faith entered you. That's what it's saying. John Calvin writes, Paul says more than that Timothy's faith resembles his mom and grandma's faith. No, it's their sincere faith that now lives in you. It's been passed on from one generation to the next. So in a sense, we say God has not merely produced faith in Timothy, but reproduced it from parent to child to grandchild. People of God, never underestimate the power of a believing parent in the life of the child as the means God is pleased to use to pass on the faith, the seed of faith. Faith here is described as an inheritance passed down, a treasure passed on. In the ordinary home life of sincere believers, Eunice had a sincere faith that she passed on to Lois. Lois had a sincere faith that she passed on to Timothy. Timothy now has a sincere faith that he's called to preach and pass on to others. Christian parenting is a powerful tool in the hands of a miracle-working God who plants the seed of faith in Jesus Christ through godly parents who have sincere faith. Let me read that again. Christian parenting is a powerful tool in the hands of a miracle-working God who plants the seed of faith in Jesus Christ through godly parents who have sincere faith. And he can use Timothy's imperfect home. Jeff and Christy, he can use your imperfect home. And he can use our imperfect homes. Because the power is not in the people. but in the gospel that gets planted in us through faith. Now, just a word on a note on the word sincere, a sincere faith. The Greek word is unhypocritical faith. It doesn't mean a flawless faith. It doesn't mean a perfect faith or a faith of 100% sincerity. Our sincerity is like this, right? Like our faith is like this. It means genuine. Not a faith that lives for God on Sundays and for mammon on Mondays, but a faith that seeks God in faith with repentance every day. A faith that rejoices, I believe, and at the same time cries, help my unbelief. That's a sincere faith. That's a genuine faith. A faith that's always serious about seeing, hating, and fighting my sin and bringing it to the Lord. A faith that's serious about resting in Jesus' finished work for my salvation, my protection. A faith that asks for the Spirit to make me stronger and holier as a Christian, a child of God. That's sincere. And as parents, we can lose our way, I think, in especially two ways. We can lose focus and we can lose confidence. We can lose focus. Get lost in the clutter of Western busyness where there's no quietness, no family time, no time for morning prayers, family devotions, bedtime devotions. Become too busy for our children and our grandchildren. And suddenly the home becomes a Christian home in name only. And the scriptures sort of get put on the shelf. We don't have time for that. Well, they'll take care of that somewhere else. Brothers and sisters, it's not the atmosphere of your home that's going to save your children. It's the scriptures. Because we know how the sincere faith was passed on. We read that in 2 Timothy 3, right? How from infancy you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. They laid the scriptures. Lois and Eunice, and then Lois and Eunice together on Timothy. And that's what gave them genuine faith, and that's what gave him genuine faith, and that's how it was passed on. So we can lose focus, become too busy, and dad and mom must each take their time modeling and teaching the faith, living and sharing God's word. But we can also lose confidence. And maybe that's just as big or bigger problem in our culture. Confidence that the Bible can really save my children. That confidence that says, I've got to lay the word on my child every day. Because that's how God reproduces faith in his children. But we can start to think, yeah, there's not a lot of power in this. Maybe they'll catch it another way. We have to be intentional. And that's what we see thirdly as the call. God's call on our lives in these verses. Paul speaks of this sincere faith in Lois that also dwelt in Eunice and then also dwelt in Timothy. And he's doing this as a call to stir Timothy up and encourage him to do his work in the church. Timothy, look at what God did in your life through your mammy and your matri. They taught you the scriptures. Now, likely they didn't have books or scrolls in their home. They went to synagogue, then later to church. They heard it, they learned it, they memorized it, and then they told the stories and shared the memorized verses at home. Look what God did. The powerhouse of parents teaching the scriptures. Look what it did to you. Why can't it do that in your ministry? Why are you discouraged? If it was good enough to give you faith and shape you as a man of God, good enough for you. for God to give your children faith and to give you strength for your task in witness. And that was the powerful tool that Lois and Eunice used to pass on their sincere faith to Timothy, the simple reading and teaching of the scriptures. Mamie and Matri taught him the sacred scriptures. Now, they weren't alone in that. Paul got thrown into that. The church ministry of the church was added to that. But that's where Timothy's sincere faith began, in the home where the sacred book was read or shared from memory and taught. And you say, well, what makes the sacred scripture so powerful? I just see ink on a page here. It's the message. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. He's the power of the word. And the Holy Spirit takes that message and He breathes power into that and wings it into our hearts and lives and plants the seed of new faith. He doesn't do that in everybody. We know that. But that's what He uses. And as parents, we can expect Him and pray to Him to use that in our children's lives like that. And that's how the kingdom comes in our children's lives. Life-changing power of God in Jesus Christ, that's the kingdom. That enters our children's hearts. Brings them forgiveness of sin, gives them a new life, and trains and shapes them as soldiers of the cross through the message of Christ crucified and risen from the dead in the scriptures. So then, of course, we must not use the word like a Pharisee. Well, if I just read the words and that's it. Yeah, I know God can work through that, but it must be part of a Christ-centered reading and teaching and instruction and modeling in our home. We use a verse to say, this is calling us to take our sins to Jesus, Josie. This is calling us to trust what Jesus did on the cross, Josie. This is calling us to believe He's got power for you to say no to sin in Jesus' resurrection, Josie. This is telling you that you become more and more like Jesus, right? Christ-centered teaching of the scriptures. Because that's what happened, right? From infancy, you've learned the child, learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Lois and Eunice taught him the gospel. And we may have this expectation that as we teach our children the scriptures with sincere faith, our sincere faith will be passed on to the next generation and theirs to the next. It's not enough to be a Christian family in name, or a Christian church in name, or a Christian school in name. What makes it Christian is if the scriptures are central, the driving force, the sacred scriptures. One more thing. We were at a mosque, some of us, bringing a Christian message and visiting with the members of that mosque a couple of weeks ago or a few days ago. And when you're in that mosque and listening to them talk about what they believe, you sense that they are so far away from the light and so deep in darkness, there's almost no point in talking. As Paul is using the story of Timothy's faith to say, go out with the word. It changed you. Why can't it build the church in Ephesus and reach the community there? God is saying to you, how did you get your faith? Your parents and grandparents taught you Christ in the scriptures. So how do you think a Muslim is going to convert? Is it going to be different? No. It might be more dramatic in how God does the work, but it's going to be the same tool. So let's be encouraged to share our faith, to share the message of Christ, to share the sacred scriptures. Because if it can change you and give you sincere faith, why can't it do that in the world around us? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, sometimes in our minds, in our hearts, the word seems like a rather pointless and powerless instrument. What is the word against deep darkness? What is the word against belligerent children? What is the word for parenting in a dark and lost culture? And we can lose confidence in the power of the gospel, the power of Christ in the gospel, but renew our confidence today to go down with the word to the next generations and to go out with the word to a lost world. Father, we may have grandchildren who are really far, far away from the kingdom. Thank you that we have this treasure given to us that we may use in their lives. How often don't grandparents have a powerful influence on the faith of their grandchildren? Well, give us that confidence as grandparents and parents and this Christian community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.